Ready? Boy, this is loud. All right, welcome to media availability. I've got a couple things I want to talk about today. First, I'm going to talk about crime statistics. As I've told you for the year, citywide crime is up 14.4% as compared to this time last year. Now, we're working hard to address that. My chief of operations, George Vegas, is here. We started to make some progress, though. It was 15.2% last week, so we actually gained almost a full percent. So I'm hopeful that that trend will continue. That's in the eight Part 1 crime categories. The highlight of that is that homicides are down in the city. We've had 57 homicides year-to-date as compared to 61 last year. And if the homicide rate continues, we're on track to have the lowest homicide rate in modern history. But obviously, we're only in the first quarter of the year, so it's too early to tell. One of the other things I wanted to talk about today is LAPD Reserve Corps. Police reserves came to the city of Los Angeles in 1947 during World War II, right after World War II. The police officers, many of them that were active in the city of Los Angeles, had gone to war. And many civilians stepped in and took the roles of police officers and policed this city. Today, we have over 400 reserve officers, many of whom are here today. They contributed over $2 million worth of patrol time to the city of Los Angeles this year. They're a great group of men and women. They work really hard, and they are maybe the best example of community policing in the city of Los Angeles. I want to thank each and every one of them for being here, and I want to thank them for their service. It is a very noble thing to do. Policing is a hard job. You sometimes see mankind at its worst. You deal with dangerous situations. The hours are continuous, and occasionally the work is monotonous. And for all of you to do that as in addition to your regular vocations and your regular lives means a lot to me, and it means a lot to the city. Many of you know I was a reserve officer back in the before time began, and I learned about my love for police work as a reserve officer working the streets of Rampart in the early 70s. This weekend, we will honor and recognize our reserves. We'll have what's called our Twice a Citizen banquet that is put on by the Police Reserve Foundation. That's at the Sheraton Universal Hotel. During this ceremony, we'll pay tribute to the hundreds of men and women that serve in the Reserve Corps. On Saturday, May 2nd, we're going to have our fifth annual Safe Summer Tip-Off. Safe Summer Tip-Off is an event that we use to highlight not only the youth programs that the Los Angeles Police Department is involved in, but also to set the stage and begin our Safe Summer. And our Safe Summer, of course, includes the opening of parks and the activities of the parks. This will occur at the Galen Center, and it's on Saturday, May 2nd, starts at 10:30. It's open to anybody that wants to be there. There is no cost. There is food there. There are police exhibits. There are fire exhibits. The highlight of the event is a basketball game between the fire department and the police department played at Galen Center. That's the trophy that is given to the winner of that game. The reason I bought that trophy is so that the members of the fire department could actually see it, because they've never owned it. So this will be the fifth year in a row, hopefully, that that the police department is victorious. But the real winners are the kids. You know, we'll have over 10,000 young men and women attend this event, and it's a good way to get them thinking about having not only a fun summer, but a safe summer. Today, up in Sacramento, three LAPD officers are being recognized for their good work on Skid Row. As all of you know, and as some recent events have illustrated, Skid Row is a really tough place to be a police officer, and obviously a tough place for many of the people that live in that neighborhood. Officers Dion Joseph, Delano Hutchins, and Andre Lanier are receiving a California State resolution from Senator Isidore Hall, and that recognizes their good work on Skid Row. As many of you know, all of the officers that work Skid Row, particularly in the Safer City Initiative, are volunteers. They work there because they believe that they can make a difference. They receive additional training in dealing with the mentally challenged, and they do a really hard job every day in a way that I'm very proud of. I also wanted to highlight LAPD recruitment. We are hiring. I want to make sure that everybody is aware of that. We've been working all of Southern California and beyond looking for individuals that have the desire to serve the community by being Los Angeles police officers. We conduct multiple different hiring workshops. One of them will be a hiring seminar that's being held at the Amundsen Recruit Training Center on April 18th. That session starts at 9 a.m. in the morning and will conclude at 11. If anybody is interested in becoming a Los Angeles police officer, I encourage them to visit joinlapd.com or call 866-444-LAPD, and they'll speak to a recruiter there. As many of you are well aware, and many of you attended, we had an LAPD Media Academy this Monday. Many of you reported on it, and I thank you for that. The Media Academy not only gave members of the media access to our firearm simulators, but also our driving instructors and the pit maneuver. I know many of you participated in that, and we actually are going to use some of your participation as part of the training. A couple of you, one of who works at LA Times, were so poor at the handling of firearms, so we're going to use it as an example of what not to do. So, Richard, thank you for that. Thank you for contributing to our program. Not to single anybody out. With that, I'll answer any questions that you have that I'm able to answer.
Chief, on the crime, is that a direct result of early release or the way things are handling in and out of prison, the so-called, as some people would say, the eternal door in out?
Well, Dave, none of that helps, but obviously it's early in the year. It will take more time to determine that. Remember that many of the things that are yet to come in Prop 47 haven't materialized yet. So any return funding, any of the integration programs, all of the reintegration programs, all those things have not occurred yet. So it's early to make a judgment. We worry about that and we take a hard look at it, but it is too early to use that as a causal connection.
Say, Chief, did you watch the video out of South Carolina?
I did.
Well,
I'll preface it by saying that that all I've done is see the video, like many of you. I'm not privy to the officer's statements. I didn't see any of the precursor incidents. I didn't do any of the things that I would normally do to make a judgment call. But I will tell you this. Based on what I have seen, based on the video, it is a criminal act. It is well beyond any policies of the Los Angeles Police Department. And I would have done exactly what the chief in North Charleston did. I would arrest the officer.
Can you go a little further on that? Is this a reflection on, because you mentioned earlier that what happens thousands of miles away can impact a local department. There are some who wonder whether or not this episode would have been captured or would have been adjudicated much differently had it not been for civilian's cell phone.
Well, evidence is key to any investigation. That cell phone video is very compelling. Now, whether or not the coroner's review of the remains or the canvassing for witnesses or the statements of the officer or the examination of the taser for DNA or many of the other investigative steps that we would do in an officer-involved shooting, it's impossible to know whether that would have led to the same result. It's easy to draw the conclusion based on the video, but there's a lot of other evidence that could lead you down the same path if examined properly. So, I think what I'm trying to put forward is that the video is very important, but it's not the only piece of evidence. And that The other pieces of evidence may or may not support the video, and the other pieces of evidence could lead to the same conclusion absent the video. Well, one of the reasons that we are instituting body cameras throughout the department, one of the reasons we have in-car video, is because we think it's important to record interactions between the police and the public. To members of the public, if they want to videotape a Los Angeles police officer, there's nothing that precludes them from doing that. Obviously, if they're in the on the inside of the yellow tape, we would have to stop that. But absent that, we not only recognize their right to videotape us, but we will not restrict it.
Chief, I'm with NPR. I don't know if you've heard of or seen an HBO documentary called Tales of the Grim Sleeper. It's about the suspect who's now on trial, Bonnie Franklin, who the LAPD arrested. And the documentary is quite critical of the LAPD's, the LAPD in general, and also interviews some women who were witnesses and who say they got away from this killer. I'm wondering if the LAPD ever has plans to talk to these women, and what do you think about this documentary?
Well, I saw the documentary when it first came out. I don't remember it in detail. We have interviewed literally thousands of people in the Grim Sleeper case. The reason that Lonnie Franklin was captured was because of the work of the LAPD. The use of the DNA to capture Lonnie Franklin was history making in the United States. I think that it is absolutely incorrect to criticize the Los Angeles Police Department for that investigation. Those detectives did a great job. Now, when the majority of the crimes occurred, was a different time and a different place in Los Angeles, and the crime rate was four times what it is now. Los Angeles Police Department was a third smaller than it is now. Those were very, very difficult days, and things did not get investigated to the degree that we're able to do them now. I wish we could go back in time and fix all that, but that's not possible to do. But I will say that I'm extremely proud of Robbery Homicide Division. I think they did a world-class job in that investigation.
Chief, a couple of weeks ago, the police commission mentioned something about recruiting and the lack of minorities, specifically of African Americans. Are you concerned about that? Is this recruiting movement trying to fill in that gap? And just how many are you going to hire?
Well, we have to hire in excess of 400 police officers every year just to stay even with attrition. We intend to do that this year. There'll be a class graduating next Friday, just as there is almost every month. We have a continuous hiring process and a continuous training process that graduates classes regularly. We are always trying to increase the diversity of Los Angeles Police Department. Los Angeles Police Department is the most diverse large police department that I know of. We almost exactly reflect the demographics of this city. We're 44% Hispanic. We are about 10% African American. We're about 7% Asian Pacific Islander, and we're 34% white. We are also 20% female. Now, I think that all of those pieces of demographics, make this a much stronger police department, and we want to increase them to make us even more diverse. So part of the recruitment is to do just that.
Chief, in regards to the lawsuit, there's something the LAPD is doing, for instance, yesterday, we were informed by the Martin Luther King Jr. a special training, for LAPD to avoid all these lawsuits. Anything that you have in mind to make changes?
Well, lawsuits are hard to avoid. We live in a very litigious society, and the police department gets sued sued regularly. So we try to avoid lawsuits that are successful. We try to avoid the fact patterns that allow lawsuits to be successful. You know, that that was a tragic incident. You know, the officers were confronted with a no-win situation, and I, you know, my heart goes out to the family of the young man that was injured, but I also know that the officers were traumatically impacted by that, too.
How do you feel with all the arrests that have been made with the Mexican Mafia and the gangs here in L.A.? I know it's been a couple of big operations and huge arrests in the L.A. County area. What's your reaction towards those arrests, you know, involving the Mexican Mafia and gangs in L.A.?
Well, you know, I think that... that you may be mischaracterizing the Mexican Mafia part. There were multiple different gangs involved in the recent arrests. You know, we work really hard to make sure that we take predators off the street. We do it with all of our federal partners, whether it's Department of Homeland Security or whether it's LA County Sheriff's Department or the FBI. You know, we work in task force configurations with all of them. You know, that was a good piece of business, but it was a regular piece of business for us. Well, it's very early on in the investigation. I haven't received the full briefing that I'll get in the next day or two. Officers heard gunfire, responded as brave officers do to the location of that gunfire. They observed a man who had been recently murdered. They set up a containment. They had a suspect flee. Suspect was armed, and an officer-involved shooting occurred. You know, I can't give you much more than that. The detectives are still working the case. You know, it it appears to be a legitimate police reaction to a very tough situation. You know, when I talk about these numbers, 57 homicides year to date, you know, those are real incidents. And when police officers confront somebody that's committing a homicide or has just committed a homicide, they need to do what they can to protect the community and themselves.
Chief, I know you can't specifically talk about lawsuits that yesterday was just filed.
Yeah.
The incident with the toy gun.
Mm-hmm.
The officer who did the shooting is back in the field. Is that an indication that your preliminary investigation goes by his story? That, you know, the boys insist that, you know, totally different story. I know, can you speak anything about that at all?
Well, you know, when I make determinations about whether to put somebody back in the field, it's based on preliminary information regarding that shooting. If it's, you know, if it is a shooting where the circumstances caused me to lose faith in the officer's ability to perform his or her duties, then I hold him out of the field. In this case, given the circumstances, it didn't seem necessary to do that. All right. Thank you all very much.
What is the rollout? What is the status of the rollout on body cameras? It could have helped last night, obviously.
Well, it would have been great last night. You know, the rollout on body cameras, we're in the middle of the negotiation with the union on the policies, and that policy will then go to the police commission, so we will hopefully have that in the very, very near future. I don't want to speculate on it because it's an ongoing negotiation. We have purchased an additional 850 body cameras to be deployed after that policy is written and the officers are trained. We should have that up and going by sometime in the summer. Our intent is to deploy an additional 7,000 cameras by the end of the year. Well, we have had an increase in gang violence. We have had an increase in gang-related shootings. You know, much of violent crime in Los Angeles is gang crime. And when I say I can't relate it to 47, that doesn't mean it's not related to 47. It just means it's too early for me to draw that connection. You know, speculation. You don't want your chief of police to be speculating on things. You want me to tell you things that I'm relatively sure about. So I can't tell you that yet. Now, it may in fact be because of 47. You know, there's many thousands of people that would have been incarcerated in the county that are not. And so, you know, that may be the effect, but we don't know yet.
Can I hope you don't mind, but one last question. The incident in South Carolina, again, in the global media that we live in, is what happened there, and the chief there said I'm trying to remember his words. I'm completely disgusted by it. Does it somehow tarnish the badge of law enforcement nationally?
Well, I think that incidents like that do hurt law enforcement nationally, and that's why they hit us so hard. I mean, I share the chief's emotional reaction to that shooting. You know, I am very, very proud of the men and women of the Los Angeles Police Department. I'm proud of the risks they take every day. I'm proud of the actions that they take every day. And to have somebody 3,000 miles away take away from that by a criminal act, you know, it's disheartening. And, you know, I empathize with that chief. It's even closer for him. But it affects everybody here. You know, all of us suffer when somebody in the profession acts illegally, just as the media suffers when somebody else in the media acts unprofessionally. So, you know, it is something that we have to deal with, but it certainly doesn't take away from my pride over the activities of the Los Angeles Police Department as a whole.
Thank you.
Thank you.